History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jordan Moreno, and this is The Valley Now, your weekly feel-good hour where we lift each other up with the stories of good people doing good things in your neighborhood. Every week, we'll be talking with community leaders who have a unique passion for our thriving city and those that make The Valley such a special place to live. Get ready to be inspired by the work they're doing, whether it's mentoring our youth, providing a platform for those without one, or just driving those worthy charitable causes. Listen in on the conversations and join us in raising our community. This is our time to shine, and this is The Valley Now. Today, I'm joined by an organization whose sole focus is breast health. It's called Check for a Lump, and I'm joined by Ashley Plum and Lauren Pensa. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Tell me about Check for a Lump and tell me about the mission. Just kind of start at the beginning. Give us a brief overview.
Check for a Lump was founded in 2009 by our founder, Holly Rose. It started as a simple call to action. She had had breast cancer, and she had a whole community, literally her whole community, her neighborhood, rally around her to help her every day, bringing meals, to carting her kids around to their activities, cleaning her house, doing her laundry, all of the things. And she was so grateful, and she wanted to give back, and she was amazed by how many women that had helped her didn't really know much about breast cancer, like didn't know necessarily about self-checks, didn't know, you know, that there's different kinds of breast cancer and it's not necessarily always genetic and all of these things. So she started it as a call to action, a simple Facebook call to action, and then it grew into some pamphlets and then a magazine. And then she started the WIG program. She met a wonderful woman who was going through breast cancer treatment, and her kids asked her to park 3 blocks away from school because they were embarrassed by her bald head and she couldn't afford a wig. So Holly said, let's go. We're starting our WIG program, took her to the WIG shop and bought her, you know, a brand new wig. And with that, our wig program was born. And then we took up doing mammograms here and there. I think there were like a few here and there. But then in 2017, Komen left the Valley. And whether you liked Komen or you didn't like Komen, they provided 50,000 free mammograms to women in the Valley, and you know, that were uninsured or underinsured, and nobody else was willing to step up. So Holly raised her hand and said, I can provide that pink experience. I can do the mammograms, you know, and we've started small, and we continue to grow our mammogram program. And, you know, so we launched that in 2019, I believe, Laura, you can correct me if that was.
Sounds right.
Okay. And then we in right at the end of 2019, the very beginning of 2020, we started our support program with our Super Survivors Unite, which is a non-traditional support group still to this day. We had a little pause, you know, because of COVID, like everybody else.
Right. A heck of a time to start a program.
Right. Yeah. But we get together and we have a fun time, and, you know, we do crafts, or we've done mountain biking, we've done hiking, we've done yoga, we've done sound healing, we've done cooking classes, all sorts of different things. So it's sort of a non-traditional thing. And then we added a tier to that last year, to that support program, with our Super Survivor Kits. And our Super Survivor Kits are comfort kits with like things like blankets and socks and chemo caps and our non-toxic product line, which Laura is going to tell you more about later, I'm sure. Holly really started it as a simple call to action, and it has just grown and become this amazing organization. So our mission is to provide free breast health education, mammograms, and diagnostic testing, and direct assistance to breast cancer patients with wigs, support, and resources in Arizona. So, you know, we're just trying to reach all of the people as much as we possibly can, women, men, because, you know, men do get breast cancer. Granted, it's a very small percentage, but they live it just as much as we do as women, because they are, you know, they're in it with their wives, their moms, their sisters, their aunts, their grandma, anybody that they're, you know, most people know somebody who's gone through breast cancer. So we really, truly believe that our breast health education is not just for breast health. It's general healthy living choices that you can make to better your chances of not getting any kind of cancer. Most of the stuff you can use in your daily life, no matter who you are or if you've had cancer or not had cancer.
I really enjoy the founder story. When I was just kind of cruising through your website, I appreciated that that founder story was there, because if you take it just a step further back, she saw a post on, she was 39, cruising Facebook, like scrolling social media, doom scrolling just like the rest of us. And there was just a simple post that her friend put up that said, you know, make sure you check, check for a lump. Yeah. Make sure
you're your boobies.
So she did. And for some reason, it stuck with her. And like, it just goes to prove it's that small. It's that small of an action. It's that easy for your life to change. Like, you know, really, we take for granted, and we should not take any day for granted, because all of a sudden here's a healthy someone that she thought she was fully healthy, young, and scrolling social media, and then her life changed. So it can be that small and that pinpoint in time that your life totally changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We truly value. So Feel Your Boobies is another nonprofit, breast cancer nonprofit, you know, aimed at getting women to do self-checks. Mm-hmm. You know, to feel your boobies. Ladies, let's do this.
Right. And to make it more mainstream, make it acceptable. Like, it is just a health check, just like any other sort of health check, and something that's so simple that you can do at home.
Yeah, that's one of the things I really love about our nonprofit, is that simple call to action, check for a lump. That's exactly what saved my life. And so I feel like it's such an important message, and the fact that it's branded across everything we do, I think it's a great reminder to women everywhere.
Did either of you have anything to do with creating that name? Because I just really appreciate it.
Well, it started out a little bit longer. It was "Don't be a chump, check for a lump." And Holly, our founder, loved that because she thought it just like made it a little more lighthearted, right? But it's a tongue twister. And so over the years, we did decide to just condense it down to "check for a lump," which gets right to the point, and I think it's a message that everyone needs to hear.
What makes you so passionate about the mission, and what brought you to the organization?
Well, speaking of just checking for a lump, that's how I found mine. I was in the shower. I had a routine myself, you know, once a month I did check and found something. I seriously thought it was a cyst. I wasn't too alarmed by it, but I did make my appointment. Sadly, it got canceled because my insurance changed. So I got delayed a whole nother month. And by the time I went in, I could actually not even just feel my lump, but I could see it through the skin. Like, it had been growing so quickly.
Wow.
And so I had a very aggressive type of cancer. Ashley and I both had triple negative. And I was scared because I had lost a good friend to uterine cancer just maybe a couple months before my diagnosis. So when I heard I had cancer, I was just like devastated because I had just seen everything she went through, and I didn't feel very hopeful. And so it was actually it was the second week of chemotherapy for me, which I had chemotherapy first. So this was still all processing in my mind. I was still very much grappling with, what does this mean for me? And I went to the wig shop to pick out my wig, and they handed me "Check for a Lump's" publication. And at that time, it was really basic. It was like a tiny little folder with just a little bit of information inside. Now it's a huge publication, like 80 pages. But at that time, just seeing the cover, I saw three survivors on that cover. They were standing there fierce and strong. And I was just like, that's what survivorship can look like. Holly was right in the middle. like brave as could be. And I was like, that's what I want my survivorship to look like. I don't want to be afraid of this anymore. I'm going to beat this. I'm going to fight. And at the end of it, I'm going to be standing there strong like that. I had no idea I would actually be standing alongside Holly fighting for all these women across the valley, but it's turned out to be an amazing circle where it came all the way around. And about, I think it was just a few months after my mastectomy, and maybe like 3 months after, I first saw Holly's post on our neighborhood website. I didn't even know she was from my neighborhood. And it was just saying, I'm looking to grow my nonprofit. I need someone who's passionate about breast cancer to come work alongside of me. And I was like, oh, that was written for me.
Yeah. Yeah. What a small world.
So I cannot believe, I just feel like it all aligns, and I'm very thankful to have joined Check for Lump because it is my passion, and I love getting to help other women who are going through their journey to feel hope, to know that there are survivors out there that care and have their backs and want to help.
How about you, Ashley?
My story, like Laura mentioned, we both had triple negative breast cancer. I was 36 and mammograms weren't on my radar. I was bad. I did not do self exams as often as I should have. But one night my bra was irritating me and I took it off and I was itching where it was irritating me. And I felt a marble in there and I was like, wait a minute, that's not supposed to be there. And so then the next day I called my doctor, and from then to, it was like a month later, I was in the chemo chair. Like, it was so fast, like getting into the next doctor and then the screening, then the diagnostic mammogram, the ultrasound, the biopsy, the MRI, all of the things that you have to go through in such a short amount of time. You know, it was very rapid. I was angry at first, because I was always the healthy one in my family. My husband had had thyroid cancer back in 2009. My daughter has, some hidden disabilities like vision disorders, ADD, ADHD, anxiety, things like that. So, I was always the one that was taking care of them. And then it was like, what the heck? No, this is not happening. But, they were super supportive, when I went through it. The hardest part for me was actually losing my hair. My hair had always been part of my identity. And even though that might sound vain to some people, you don't realize how much it is part of you until you don't get to have it. So that was the worst part of my whole breast cancer experience, was losing my hair. And I was at the wig shop, and I couldn't really afford a wig with all of the cost of the treatment and everything. And they handed me a postcard that was the Check for a Lump postcard with the wig program. And so I applied. Laura got my application and approved me. And I got my wig, and I still have it. I'm superstitious. I will never get rid of my wig. Oh. So, I'm like, I'm hanging on to that for dear life. But, after my cancer, I did soul searching for a couple of years, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life post cancer. And, because it really changes your outlook on things. And yeah. I knew I wanted to give back, and I had been there with Check for a Lump at different things. And I was part of YSC, which is Young Survivors Coalition. It's just another support system for young breast cancer survivors. And I knew I wanted to give back more. And Holly actually had an opening for outreach. And so I came on board at the very beginning of 2020 as outreach. And I just, I fell in love with all of the programs that we offered and just the way that we help the community. And, just all the things that we do to support survivors. It fuels my passion for helping others. And my cup is full, especially on those days that I get those phone calls from women who are struggling, and, I can talk through things with them. And, by no means am I a doctor or counselor or psychiatrist, psychologist, any of those things. I am just somebody else who went through it, and I have my experience. I can share with them and be there for them.
Yeah. Impactful. And no better people to do it than the two of you? You've been there, you've sat in their shoes, and regardless of what phase they are in their cancer journey, you have been there. And so you can tell them, look, the mental load was really hard on me in the beginning in XYZ, or here was the hardest part for me. I see that you're struggling, you know, with the loss of hair too. Here's what I did, you know, whatever it is. And then into survivorship too, I'm sure there's still lingering effects, lingering mental load. You know, we all walk around day to day not understanding, you know, this, there's no face of cancer. Like everybody, like you said, most people have been touched by it in one way or another, a family member, themselves, a neighbor. And this podcast certainly isn't to speak to the power of social media, but it is kind of funny that that's that kind of trend has come up a couple different times, whether it's a neighborhood group and just looking at what other friends are doing. It's something that is surrounding yourself by that sort of community, I would imagine, as a survivor would be incredibly important. And then the fact that you do the non-traditional survivor get-togethers, how fun. Like, you know, you're not sitting around, woe is me. You're out surviving and thriving. And I'm sure a lot of the women that have also been through this are also taking a look at their lives. That's a big wake-up call of, what am I doing? Do I love the corporate world? Do I love, you know, my body and my habits and the things that I'm doing right now? Or do I want to make a change? So do you hear that from a lot of the group?
Yeah, I mean, I do hear that from some of the ladies who, you know, it could be as simple as they never did, you know, crafting or thought that they had any sort of artistic ability. And now they specifically come to our event because they've learned that art is healing and it helps them. And they went and bought their own art supplies, you know, their own craft mm-hmm. supplies at the store, and they paint at home, even if it's, you know, not masterpieces, but it's a way for them to heal. And, you know, and then when they come to be with our other survivors, you know, then we all get to talk about how that impacts us and how you're letting these emotions come out and the struggles, you know, through your art. And there's been so many studies on art therapy that, you know, it's so powerful that I encourage anybody who's been through any sort of traumatic experience just to try, you know, try something. So, you know, and our survivors, we encourage them to bring their co-survivors so that their co-survivors can also heal and join in the conversation alongside of them.
One of my favorite things about our support group, our Super Survivors Unite, is that because we're doing something fun, it's pretty common that something, you know, cancer related will come into conversation. Oh, I dropped my paintbrush. Oh, it's my neuropathy or whatever. And the whole group will just laugh because we all get it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, that's so comforting. When I say that, like, to my friends, I have to explain the whole thing. And it's like, just to be around other people who have been through similar things. It's not, you know, them looking at you with like sad eyes or needing a whole lot of explanation. You can just bond in a much faster way because you have this commonality.
Yeah. And to that too, the on the chemo brain side, you know, sometimes words, yeah. Like there's a lot of things in survivorship that people don't see, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, we have our hair back. We look healthy. We, you know, we don't look like, you know, The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, and people don't see that lasting chemo brain, like, it's a real thing. It's a real struggle. And, you know, and I'll be the first one to admit, I still struggle with that. And there Me are too. Days that we can have a whole entire conversation and I will have no memory of it, even though I actively participated.
I love the way that the second you said chemo brain, Laura's face lit up. Like, I wish that everybody could have seen it because it's so, like, just perfect. It's a perfect example of one of those things that you sure. just did.
So, you know, I just encourage anybody out there that's listening that knows a survivor, you know, understand that they are still, even if they're years and years out, they probably are still struggling with the side effects from their treatment. You know, and so just to, you know, if they're struggling for a word, either be patient or offer up a word, you know, that, you know, because sometimes that's what happens to me. I'm like, oh, what is that word?
It's something too that I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand if you haven't been in the world, is how expensive a good wig can be. You know, both of you spoke about, like, in your journey, that price point of a wig, and that's what drove you to check in to check for a lump. Speak to the price point of a good wig.
So I'm going to speak to my experience, because even though I found out about Check for a Lump, I didn't actually use the funding program, because I was like, oh, I have insurance. It's covered. No big deal. I had my doctor's note that said cranial prosthesis. It's all insurance covered, whatever. I went, picked out my wig. It was, I believe my wig was $550. So I thought,
so much.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. It's insurance is going to cover it, or at least most of it. Like, it's fine. It's worth it, because it looks like my hair. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get my rejection from insurance until after I was done with my chemotherapy.
Oh, no.
So I ended up having to pay that bill in the end, which really was disappointing and disheartening. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of the reasons I am very passionate about our wig program, is even when women call and they say, oh, I think I qualify, I think I have insurance, I'm like, oh, you need to call your insurance and find out which wig shops, which wig brand they will cover, because they are very particular. And even if you think it's covered, it may not be covered. And so, you know, my experience is now helping others to not have to go through that struggle.
Right. How frustrating. And for among all of the other things that you're dealing with, to have to get slapped with a $500 bill for a wig, you're like, come on, come on. Yes. So how would someone qualify for the financial assistance for a wig through Check for a Lump?
So that all comes through me and our programs. And what's really great is our wig shops actually work with us to get us discounted or really affordable wigs. So we cover up to $300, which in our case does cover the wig. So they're getting a free wig, and they just go on our website, and it's so easy. They just apply. At that point, they send in their pathology just so that we know it is a breast cancer diagnosis, because we only have enough funding to cover that. Mm-hmm. And it goes through an approval process, and they get to go to one of our partnering wig shops to choose a wig. So it's a really beautiful program. And I think, aside from funding holding us back, we could offer this to as many breast cancer patients as wanted it, because the wig shops are eager to help us too. It's just bringing in those supporters and the grants that see the passion and the purpose behind the wig program too.
Mm-hmm. And something so simple, but makes absolute difference in the confidence, which is needed as you're going through something like this. You have to feel strong. You have to feel powerful. You have to see beyond the chemo treatment that day. It's the confidence is something. Can you speak to any survivors or people that have come back and spoke about the difference and the impact that something as simple as a wig made on them?
I'll speak to my own personal experience, and then we can talk about some of our survivors. For me, once I got that wig, I could go to the grocery store and not be that cancer patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I went to the grocery store with my chemo cap or my scarf on my head, people would stop me and they'd want to talk, and you know, it got to be too much, to where I didn't want to go out, because not because I was embarrassed, but because I didn't want people to, oh, you poor thing, you have cancer. You know, I just wanted to go out and have a normal day. I wanted to go out to dinner with my family without somebody saying something about me having cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that wig gave me that sense of normalcy in a very difficult time. You know,
yeah.
So I think that's really key. Is giving that normalcy, and that, you know, like you talk about confidence, and yes, confidence, but it's normalcy. because nothing is normal when you go through cancer. And
we hear a lot from young moms too. I just wanted to speak to that because it's normalcy for the woman for sure. That's our top priority. But even for the family members, especially young moms, it can be really scary and a constant reminder to their kids. And so to have a wig that helps their kids process and feel like mom's going to be okay or mom is okay, it changes the dynamic at home. And we do hear that from a lot of the younger women who have kids still in their houses.
It's such a good point. It is. I have a 5-month-old who's constantly pulling at my hair, you know, and I have a 5-year-old who would also, be very scared and, you know, what's wrong with mom? And so I get that. And I really feel that.
And we've got one of our survivors. She's a thriver. She's a metastatic breast cancer thriver. She's doing well right now. She got her wig through us. She's on the cover of our magazine right now. But when she first was diagnosed with her breast cancer, she was working at an elementary school where she was the counselor, and she needed to keep, or middle school, it might have been a middle school, but it was the younger kids, and she needed to have a wig so that way she felt comfortable, you know, talking with the kids and giving that sense of consistency and normalcy so that she was able to focus on the kids and their needs versus them asking questions about her and why she doesn't have hair or why it was super short. So, you know, our survivors really, truly, like, they need these to help them on a daily basis.
You guys have so many events throughout the year. I've been somewhat of a part of the Pink Out 5K, but there's a lot of different ways to get involved. So if someone's listening, super inspired, maybe they do have a tie, because I'm sure so many do, how can someone get involved and support you all?
Yeah, so we have lots of events throughout the whole year.
You guys are busy.
Yeah, busy, busy, always busy. So, I mean, oh my goodness. Okay, how much time do we have for this podcast?
3 minutes.
Okay, we can do this.
Ready to go.
Definitely go on our website, checkforalump.org. You can go under the Get Involved tab. There's donate, there's volunteer, there's events. You know, you can email volunteer@checkforalump.org. You can email info@checkforalump.org. You can email myself, Ashley Plum, at checkforalump.org as well. If you would like to get involved, I mean, we have monthly volunteer opportunities. We can bring a volunteer opportunity to you. You can have your company come in and do a volunteer opportunity. We can come to your company and do it. We can do an evening volunteer activity during the office, you know, like a lunch and learn type thing. Then there's our wig out gala. We always need volunteers to help with that. Getting ready for it and setting up, night of and tear down and all of those things. Then of course we have our Pink Out 5K, which you've been involved with. That takes a lot of hands to put that on as well. We need a lot of volunteers for that as well. That's in October. Our gala is in the spring. And then we also have our mobile mammogram events that we put on, where we really truly need somebody who is bilingual, Spanish, English, who can help the women that are coming up to get their mammogram. A lot of them might be there for the first time. They might be scared and they just need somebody to help comfort them and talk them through things. You know, and with a small staff, we don't always have the capability to go out to every single thing and spend the entire time, or, you know, we might not be able to communicate well with the women. So if we have a volunteer that can come out with us, you know, or go out there for us to help out in the community, that would be huge. And then we also have our Super Survivor kits that need delivered. So we need volunteers to deliver our Super Survivor kits to the survivors. And that's very rewarding. And Laura had a volunteer share her story on the Super Survivor kits. So I would love for you to share that volunteer story real quick, Laura.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our volunteers, it was her first time actually dropping off kits. And she went up to an apartment door, knocked on the door, and kids answered. And she's like, oh, I'm just here to drop off this surprise. It's a surprise kit from Check for Alum. And the kids took it inside, and she could see the mom lying on the couch across the room. She looked pretty tired. And she started to walk down the staircase from the apartment building. And the mom came out and was like, please wait, stop. I want to thank you. This means so much to me. And she was just crying and so grateful. And the kids come running down to the volunteer, and they drop like little Hershey kisses in her hand. And they're like, you gave us something. We wanted to give you something too. So that volunteer called me crying. She was like, oh, yeah. I'm never going to forget this experience. It totally touched my heart. Yeah. So it's a beautiful way for the community to show that they care. They don't even have to actually see the person. They can ding dong ditch and just like literally ring the doorbell, drop it at their bag, and go text from the car, hey, there's a surprise waiting for you. It's a really easy way to get involved, and it's so fulfilling.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you want to stick around? I feel like with a story like that, if that's the bar, you're there. You're there, and you're going to get to know the people even just organically. So thank you both so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for the great work that you're doing out in the community too.
Thank you for having
us.
All right. I want to give a very special thank you to my guests today. And I want to thank you for being a part of the program and making our community an amazing place, not just to live and to work, but most importantly, to play. You can hear The Valley Now on the radio with audio on demand on radio station websites and the Odyssey app. My name is Jordan Moreno. Shine your light, share your love, and join us again next week right here on The Valley Now.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.